Friends, we now move on to the next chapter, chapter number 5 of our subject, Total Quality Management. And the name of the chapter is Problem Solving and Decision Making. In the last chapter, we said that every work is to be seen as a process approach. We have seen how a process flow chart is there. We have seen how to map the process. We have seen how to find out whether the process is adding value or not adding value, how to look into the process, what is the distribution of the process, what is the capability of the process, and how to make the capability of the process better, what to look into process, like that we have seen everything. But when we implement TQM in our organization, we have to solve many problems and we have to take many decisions. We have to develop ourselves as a leader, because we cannot become good leaders if we are not able to solve problems. We cannot become good managers and good leaders if we are not able to take proper decisions in time. Now, all people feel that decision making is not a very easy process. It is the process only some people can do. But today we will see that decision making can be done by us very efficiently if we follow certain process. This also is a process approach in case of problem solving and in case of decision making. Today we will be seeing the process which we are going to adopt for problem solving and for decision making. When TQM is implemented in an organization, it invariably starts with problem solving process. Many problems we have to solve. When we have to improve something, problems will come. When we have to deal with people, problems will come. When we have to improve with machines, problems will come. Problem solving process is a continuous cycle of opening our mind. Understand this subject. Our mind must be very open. We should try to learn and unlearn the things with open mind. We should always look for new horizon, new thinking. Opening our mind to a wide range of possible solutions and then deciding on the most feasible option. Problem solving, the basic role of which is quality improvement to help meet the customer requirements. Right from the first chapter, I've been again and again repeating this word, customer requirements, customer satisfaction, and customer focus. And for that, we should learn a technique which will take us to the solution of the problem in time, which will fulfill our customer requirements. When we are in the business situation, so many concerns will be there. I don't say problems, but concern. What is concern? Something which is not allowing me a calm and quiet sleep in the night. Something which is ringing in my mind. Something I feel uncomfortable with. I feel that some concern is there which is serious, which is urgent, and it is growing. That means if I don't solve the problem today, it will increase tomorrow, then it will increase day after tomorrow, and it is having a growth. For example, I have to pay the bill today, telephone bill. If I don't pay it today, maybe tomorrow they will cut the connection. For electricity bill also. If I don't fill the form today for examination, maybe I will not be allowed to fill the form tomorrow. If I need some money today, and if I don't get the money today, then tomorrow I may lose the opportunity. Concerns. many concerns, day in and day out. We have a lot of concerns. What current concerns involve something going wrong? Children are not studying. Servants are not attending the duties. Scrap is increasing, repair is increasing, profit is decreasing, market share is deteriorating. Something is going wrong in the area of people, machinery, sales, distribution, costs. Costs are increasing, not under control. Distribution is not happening properly. People are complaining about delivery. Sales is going down. Machinery is becoming breakdown. Maybe they are old, maintenance is not proper, spares are not available. People are creating problems, they are going on strike. Concerns. So, we have to see what current concerns involve something going wrong. Then, what current concerns involve something going wrong for which we know the cause. First point was, we did not know the cause. We don't know why it is going wrong. But second point is, we know why it is going wrong, but what we have to do to correct the situation? We need to correct the situation. What current concerns involve something that is going right, but we have to improve it? Something is going right means as per plan, but we feel that no, we have to improve it. Such also are concerns only. And what current concerns require you to take a final decision on the best of two or more options or alternatives? So, concerns. What are the concerns? Something going wrong for which we don't know the cause. That is more dangerous. Something going wrong for which we know the cause but need to correct the situation. So, how to? Some concerns, everything going right, but we want to improve. Some concerns, we have to take a decision. So, list down the concerns. First thing is situation appraisal. List down the concerns. What current concerns, actions or plan are responsible for implementing? What changes are about to occur? What are the threats and opportunities? Describe a current problem. I'm responsible for implementing a new process. How to? What are the current threats and opportunities? Describe a current problem. Write down problem statement. Then, situation appraisal. Separate the concerns into single manageable attempt. You don't say quality of product is bad. This is too huge, too vague a statement. Don't do that. Separate it into a single manageable attempt. For example, say that bearing number 101 has problem that it seizes after 200 hours of work. Say that. Specific. Be specific. That means concern, you have a lot of concerns. But don't say that, okay, labor situation is bad. Don't say. You say, a worker named so and so is creating problems to others or is telling others to make less production or something, misbehaving. Then, which can be resolved by one action. For example, I can take one action on that bearing so that the problem will be solved. What action? That we will decide. Or we can take action on that particular person and then problem is solved. Any additional actions necessary to ensure success of the resolution. Then, once you write down that concern, for example, bearing number 101 seizes after 200 hours. set priority or sequence. Seriousness, urgency, growth. What is seriousness? How severe is the impact? What or who is getting affected? How seriously it is getting affected? So, say very high seriousness or medium seriousness or a low seriousness, SML. Urgency. Is there a deadline? For example, I must pay the bill before 21st or something very bad will happen. Will opportunities be lost? That means if I don't take the admission by day after tomorrow, I may not get the admission at all. How pressing is the need for action? That means if I don't have money to pay, and if it is very urgent, I must borrow it from somewhere and pay the bill. Growth, will it get worse? If I don't take the action, will it get worse tomorrow? What will happen if ignored? Will it the problem grow if the action is not taken? That means once you write down the concerns, ask these questions. How serious it is? How urgent it is? And is it growing? Is it getting worse? Day by day. On that, see, this is something called as situation appraisal. You are appraising the situation and writing down this kind of a graph. This is the concern where seriousness is also high on the scale of 1 to 10, it is 7, and urgency also is high. On the scale of 1 to 10, it is 9. So, it is 7, 9. That means, it is 7 here and 9 there. So, this is the most urgent. I have to see immediately this concern. What is this? Where the seriousness also is high and urgency also is high. Then there is one more concern here. 5, 6. Then one more concern here, 7, 5. 7, 5 means seriousness is 7, urgency is 5. So all the concerns which are marked on by bold here, I must take for action immediately. This is called situation appraisal. And suppose this concern is growing. Growing means becoming worse. Then this situation is growing, let us say. Then I must take first these two for action. Because it is urgent also, it is serious also, and it is growing also. I must take this for action. So this is called situation appraisal. You have 10 certain concerns like this. Appraise it like this. Because for this, it is only 2, 6. Maybe I can take it afterwards. I must take first the concerns which have high seriousness, high urgency, and it is becoming worse. Situation appraisal. That is the first step. Next, locate action sequence. Is this situation for which cause is unknown? I should do problem analysis. Does this concern require us to identify the best course of action? Then decision analysis. I must take a decision. In this case, I must find out the problem. If the cause is unknown, I must do the problem analysis. If the cause is to take the best course of action, decision analysis. Does this concern involve a decision which has been made but not implemented? Then potential problem analysis. That means if I take this decision, for example, one person I must promote, what will be the potential problem? If I take that decision, or if I shift my company to another location, decision is made to shift it from Bangalore to Nasik. But before implementing the decision, we must do the potential problem analysis. Because what is the potential problem if I take that decision? And then how to solve that problem? Can this concern be addressed by taking a few process steps? Ask this question. That means, first of all, list down all the concerns, then find out seriousness, urgency, and growth potential, then ask these questions. Then the answer will be either you do the problem analysis or situation analysis or the decision analysis or potential problem analysis. Then problem analysis, I will take the subject, ask the questions. What, where, when, what is the extent? Then ask the question, what is not? For example, something is there on the product and something is not there. What is there and what is not there? Ask these questions. What is the object, person or unit with this defect? What is wrong? What undesired behavior is observed and what is not observed? What object, person, unit is similar to the one involved but does not have this defect? That means this product has the defect but this product does not have. Why? This bearing has the defect but this bearing does not have the defect. Why? Then there will be some thinking. Then where is the problem? For example, on the bearing there is the rust on the OD, but inside it is not there. But similar places the deviation is expected, but is not. That means why it is there only on the OD? Why it is not there anywhere else? Think. Ask questions. What is not? Where is not? When is not? For example, the thing is happening only in the morning. Night it is not happening. Why? Why it is happening only in the morning? Why not in the night? When was the defect on the object? When it was not observed? For example, yesterday it was observed. Earlier it was not observed. Why? What is the change? What is specific about this? Then extent. How many are affected? How many should be involved but are not? Only 2% are affected, 98% are not affected. Why? Such type of questions. We are doing a thinking. That problem is here, but it is not there. Why? Problem is on this part, but other parts it is not there. Why? Problem is there yesterday, but earlier it was not there. Why? Problem is there for 5% of the parts, 95% of the parts it is not there. Why? What is the significance between is and is not? Then we can get some idea. What is odd or unique with is and is not? What are we doing to the is that we are not doing with is not? What is true about is and not about is not? Then we know, the problem was there yesterday, earlier it was not there. That particular problem happened yesterday, it rained like cats and dogs. And it rained on the parts only, it leaked on the parts. So the water leaked on the parts. But earlier it never happened. Yesterday it happened. So that may be the cause. So when we compare what is and what is not, where is and where is not, when is and when is not, and what extent, then we know some hypothesis we can develop. What if anything has changed in area of distinction? Is there anything changed? Was any machine change? Was there any tool change? Was there any person change? Was there any environment change? Was there any raw material change? Was there any spare parts change? Because we know that problem happens because of change. For example, your neighborhood. Earlier there was completely calm and quiet. But since last 1 month, lot of fights have happened in that neighboring flat. Now you start asking, it was not there earlier, fights were not there earlier. Why they are there since 1 month? then you know that 1 month back, a new couple has come there to stay. And they are creating the problem. So exactly you can pinpoint. So again, I'm telling you, ask these questions. First of all, you make the situation analysis, then ask these questions. What is not? Where is not? When is not? What extent it is not? You will get the hypothesis. Then ask the question, in the area of distinction, what has changed? What is the change? Ask this question. Then you know, I had changed this spare part, but that spare part was not imported, it was Indian, it was indigenous. So there was some change. So then find out whether that spare part, remove that spare part and see whether the quality is adequate or not. Ask the question, what is the change? I don't say that Indian part was bad, but it may be different. It may be different. The dimensions may be different. It may have been produced by different drawing. It's possible. In that way, it is not useful, I say. So find out what is the change. First of all, see is and is not. Then ask what is the change. Then develop hypothesis. How could this change combined with the distinction has caused this deviation? That means is and is not and change. Then you will definitely know the cause. But very sincerely, as a team, ask these questions. What is not? And why it is there for is, why it is there not there for is not? How could this change combined with distinction has caused this deviation? That means this deviation has been caused. Then you will know. Develop full cause and effect hypothesis like this. Then if the hypothesis is the true cause, how does it happen both is and is not? Then you ask the question, okay, if the rains was the problem, does it satisfy both is and is not? Then you know whether the cause is true or not. Select most probable cause on the basis of current evidence. Verify the true cause by some experiments. That means if raining was the problem, then put water on those parts and see whether it is really happening. Do some experiments. But most important thing is ask the questions and find out the hypothesis. Test the hypothesis. Find out the true cause. Then decision analysis. What is decision analysis? I have to pinpoint. For example, I have come to Mumbai and I am looking for the houses. One is in Dadar and one is in New Mumbai. One is in Chembur. Now, I have to find out which house I should take. So for that, I must ask many questions. Does this concern require us to identify the best course of action? Which is the best solution? Which is the best decision? Let us say you have three options, A, B and C. Then test each option with your must objectives. What is the must objective for your house? It should be near to your workplace. What is the next must objective? It must be economical for you. It should not have a rent, something like 50,000 rupees per month. I may not be able to take that house. So must objective is, it must be economical, it must be safe, and it must be near to your workplace. Maybe these are your must objectives. Then, is that the other thing satisfying your one of the must objective? No. Then leave that. Then you have two. Yes, both of them are near to your workplace. Both of them are economical and both of them are safe also. Then you ask other objectives, which I call it as want objectives. First of all, check with must objectives. Then go for want objective. Want means which you want. For example, there should be a theater near your house. Maybe it is a want objective. There should be a hotel near your house. Want objective. The hotel should be cheaper. Maybe want objective. It should be near to the market. Want objective. A Every option must fulfill all the essential objectives and then only we accept it. That means go. Then summarily reject the option if it is not satisfying the must objective. Then want objectives. Every want objective has a weightage. Give the weightage. How much important it is on the scale of 1 to 10? That want objective. Is it important? Very important. Give the 10 marks. Every option has a score with respect to the want objective. Then that option, how much it is fulfilling my requirement, give the marks 1 to 10. Then multiply weight and score and find out which is the best weight score for want objective. Then you select that option. The option which satisfies all the must objectives, that means go, and whose weight score, what is weight score? Weightage into score. Weightage means how much that is important for you. If it is more important, give 10 marks. And option number that Chembur House is satisfying that to the best, give 10 marks. So your score becomes 10 into 10, 100. Then select that. Otherwise, if it is not very important to you, must objective, maybe 2 marks. And it is not satisfying much that, then 2 marks, maybe 4, then weight score will be 4. Like that, you go on selecting the options. You have 3 options. First of all, ask one question, how much it is fulfilling my must objectives. If it is not fulfilling the must objectives, reject that option. Then take remaining 2 options. Then ask, what are my want objectives and what is the weight score? The best weight score is your decision. A simple, objective way of taking decision. Then, once you decide that, then you ask some emotional questions. Will my wife or mother like that place? Is it suitable for them? Is it safe for them? Look at the adverse consequences if I take that decision. And then take the decision. That is the way how we should take a decision. How do the alternatives compare with each other considering all the must and want objectives? What alternatives should be assessed for adverse consequences? What could go wrong if this alternative is chosen? What is the probability that this adverse consequence will occur? And what will be the seriousness if it occurs? Make final decision. If already a decision is made, change the decision suitably. If the probability of something going wrong is high and seriousness is also high. This is called as potential problem analysis. Potential problem analysis means already the decision is made. For example, decision is made that the office will be shifted from Dadar to Chembur, and then you do the potential problem analysis. Find out if the probability of something going wrong is very high and seriousness also is very high, in that case, you reject that option. Convince your boss that, sir, if we take this option, there will be potential problems. Company will lose the market share. Customer will be unsatisfied. Tell that. Try to change the decision. If the potential problem analysis tells you that something will go wrong, very high probability and very high seriousness. So what I have told in this chapter up till now is problem analysis, which you can do objectively. I can tell you that 99% of technical problems and most of the personal problems can be solved with this problem analysis. Very good way. Ask what is not, where is not. When is not, and to what extent. Then ask, what is the change? Any change, because I will tell you, any problem happens only because of a change. If there is no change, no problem. Some change has happened. For example, some employee has left. Some person has newly joined. Some new spare part has been put in the machine. Some new machine has come. Some new oil has been put. Some new tool has been designed. Something is changed. I will tell you, I have experience that whatever problems have come in my way, many of them, most of them were due to some change. So find out why or where, how the change has happened. You will know the cause of the problem. Remove that cause, your problem will be solved. If the problem is known and you have to pinpoint or select an option out of three options, use this decision analysis. Must objectives, want objectives. Must objective, no weight score. It must fulfill all the requirements. Want objective, yes, you can do the weight score and take a decision. And if some decision is already made, do the potential problem analysis. Then fault tree analysis. What is fault tree? That if there is fire, you can go on doing this analysis as to what is the cause. For example, fire, there is fuel present, there is oxidizer present, there is mixture is flammable, and there is ignition source. Then what is the next? Which are ignition sources? Lighted match is there, or open flame is there, electric spark is arc is there, electric spark is there, hot surface is there. Remove this cause, you will solve the problem. So there is one more way of doing the fault tree analysis. What is fault tree? First of all, you write down what is the fault. Then ask why. Then ask why. Five times ask why till you get your final answer. Then write down in this tree, why fire? Probable cause is fuel present. Next probable cause is oxidizer present. Third is mixture is flammable. Fourth is ignition source is there. What are the ignition sources? Lighted match is there. Remove the lighted match, you will solve the problem. Then Ishikawa diagram. Ishikawa diagram is also called as cause and effect diagram. Make a brainstorming and ask, what is the cause? What is the cause of the problem? What is the cause of this effect? Man, is there unskilled man working there? Is there untrained man working there? Is there an incapable man working there? Is there a weak man working there? Is there a sick man working there? Is there a man who is having habit of drinking is working there? Is there a man who is habitual of making bad production is working there today? Is the man absent? Is the proper man absent or on leave? Ask question, which machine is producing this defect? Out of 13 machines available, find out which machine is having more defective percentage. Which method? Third question. Man-machine method. For example, method, I will give you the example. When we were children, our grandmother was producing on that chulla. The same thing, now we are using the gas stove. Earlier, our mother was using that noisy stove, rockel of kerosene stove. Method. Which method you are using? Which method was better? For example, salt bath was better? Or vacuum hardening is better? Which method was better? Find out the records, then decide. The next question, material. Is there any change? Earlier material was coming from Mumbai. Now it is coming from Delhi. Is this change happening, creating the defect? Then what is the change in environment? For example, Igatpuri. During summer, everything is proper. In the rainy season, lot of moisture is there. People, parts get rusty. there are interruptions in the process, environment, in the rainy season. Then measurement, how capable are your measuring equipments? Is there any change that earlier measuring equipment was better and now it is not so good? Is it calibrated in time? Is it inspected in time? Is it worn out? So make a list of causes. Give one slip of paper to all your team members and ask them to write the probable cause. Then everybody will write all their causes on that slips of papers. Then you take the slips and organize it. The slips which are pertaining to man, the slips which are pertaining to machine, the slips which are pertaining to method, the slips which are pertaining to material, the slips which are pertaining to environment, the slips which are pertaining to measurement. And then you will know maximum slips are going towards man. And then you know what action has to be taken. And I will tell you only one action: training, retraining. Methods of training, better methods of training, retraining is the method how we can improve upon man. Very good methods of problem solving. In a brainstorming session, call the people with the available data and evidences. Some questions will be asked to the team. They will be supplied with small cards and will be asked to write their answers on the cards. The cards will be collected and arranged on a soft board by pinning on the concerned agency. Pinning on the concerned category means man, machine, etc. Who has produced this unit? Has the worker, supervisor failed to perform his duties? Has the designer made a mistake? Was the regular worker absent and so another substitute worker did this job? Then, which machine was used? Was the preventive predictive maintenance schedule followed? Is the machine capable? If not, what is the capability index? What was the was the SPC skipped? In case of method, where a new method, different method was applied? Was there any change? What is the change in the recent period? Because every problem will come because of the change. Was the material received from a different supplier? Was it not inspected? Was it stored on a corrosive environment? That means somewhere in the stores, it was stored where there was no ventilation, no light, and material was kept in such a way that the rainy season, you know, the water was leaking onto those components. Was it stored in a corrosive environment where acids were there, alkalis were there? Was it raining during the last week? Is the gauge R&R, repeatability and reproducibility, which I am going to explain in the next chapter of measurement techniques? What is the change, if at all, in any category? Where is the problem and was there any problem? Various causes of the effect are discussed and the probability of detailed causes is decided. The most probable cause is then found out. The team will find out most probable cause. So this is the way how you should practice problem solving, decision making by using these simple tools. You will be definitely successful and solve 99.99% problems if you really use this properly. These tools really very good. We have done a lot of practice on these tools. We have been successful also in solving the problems. And I request you to really go through this, your book, and make a detailed study of these processes, what I have told. Use the process approach in your day-to-day activities and be successful as leaders. Thank you.